to help them, like, share them. Listen to Jude. We've been looking at Jude. As we were singing that wonderful hymn, I was just thinking about all those people who deny the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ and his saving power. And yet, here we are about to celebrate the birth of this wonderful God-man, fully God and fully man. And at the time of Jude, this was no different. So let's just read, beginning verse 16. Jude, verse 16. There are apostates, of course, that have begun to creep into the churches among believers. And these apostates, verse 16 says, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Verse 17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what the apostle said, what he's saying. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who would walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Again, verse 19, separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But, verse 20, ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Says, but ye, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Apparently, Jude, when he wrote his letter, it was subsequent, came after what Peter and Paul had written about the false apostles coming in. These are wolves coming in sheep's clothing. And you would wonder, why would ungodly, God-denying people come and try to penetrate and try to destroy the faith of people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved? Now, again, let me remind everyone that once saved, always saved. Once we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior and Lord, then He takes the rest of it into His own hands. So nobody could pluck us from His hands, and nobody could pluck us from His Father's hands. We're His forever and ever. Now, why do these apostates, these unbelievers, come into the very flock, the very group of believers, and at the same time to make personal gains out of them? What they want to do is they want to, when I say destroy the faith, I mean try to weaken the faith in people. And once they are able to weaken the faith of people, then people become ineffective. Then our testimonies are marred. And we can't go out as before and witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what they want to do. They can't separate us from the love of God, but if they could stop us, from witnessing and testifying to people about the goodness and grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ and His saving power, then they've done their job. So, Judy's saying, you watch out. And that these apostles who warned us, like Paul and Peter before Jude, they deserve to be remembered for preservation from errors so that we would listen to them and we would take heed, we would be on the lookout. These are people, the apostates are people who will not be saved. Not because God didn't want to save them, but when a person rejects God over and over and over and does not want to come to God, after a while, God says, okay, you want your way? You can have your way. And these apostates want their way, and they don't want God. They're sensual seducers, and they come in and it says, remember how that they, the apostles, said to you in the last time, there shall be mockers, walking after their own lust and ungodliness. Last time, it's the duty of ministers, it's the duty of believers to study the Word of God, to be ready to answer, to give an answer for the hope that we have in us. We need to be able to answer people based on the Word of God. Why is it that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Why is it that we believe in His saving power? Why is it that we believe that He is fully God and fully man? Why is it that we believe that He is glorified at the right hand of God? Because God's Word says so, and God Himself says so. So it's the duty of all believers to study and to remind others of the warnings that the apostles have given. So to be forewarned is to be forearmed. We need to think about it. We need to study the Word of God. We need to be diligent. We need to pray fervently to God so He would continue to enlighten us, to increase our faith. And so here, they're saying that, you know, Paul and Jude and others, they're saying that the wicked mockers are going to come in the last time. Now, what do they mean by last time? Well, of course, we could say last time like things are getting worse and worse and worse. Well, yeah, maybe they are. And in this country, certainly things are getting worse and worse and worse. But I really believe that when they were writing, they were talking about the last time, meaning the age of grace, between the first advent, the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to earth, as a baby in Bethlehem that we were reminded of, until the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not that in the Old Testament they were not seducers, they were not apostates. Yes, they were. But in a special way, under the age of grace, these people are going to just multiply and multiply and multiply. Today in this country, many people who profess to be pastors, not fundamentalists, but they don't believe in hell. I met a Christian man, and he said that people, he said, today think that God is a God of love. Everybody's going to go to heaven. God can't send anybody to hell. I said, oh, is that right? Well, He spared not His Son, His own Son. Did God spare His own Son? He says, wow, I hadn't thought about that. Oh, He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Yes, how shall not also with Him freely give us all things? But it's His duty, it's His honor to punish those transgressors who would not receive His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their personal Savior and Lord. So here, mockers are going to come. And then, of course, they're going to appear under the purest dispensation of grace. This is the purest dispensation of all the dispensations that we have heard of. And they're most wicked when grace is so abundant. And they mock against God and man, and they seem to get away with it. They're sensual, self-seeking, and they imply that God's threatenings is just a fable, that God is not going to do anything. God is all-loving. He can't bring everything to pass, judgments upon the wicked. And of course, I get just kind of wound up. And here's what I believe. There's a time, unless the Lord comes very quickly, there's going to be a time in this country when most people would not be able to define sin, the word sin. They're not going to know what sin is, because they're going to have the impression that if there is a God, He is going to be so permissive that there wouldn't be any such thing as sin. We're very close to it now. Very, very close to it now. It's all right, people, to live together, men and women, men and men, women and women, adopt children out of wedlock, and they think nothing of it. Nothing of it. Sensual. And God is going to punish the mockers, because it says He scorneth the scorners. God will mock at their calamities in the day of their judgment. Now, verse 19, I repeated that twice, and that involves the application of prophecy to these seducers of Jude's day and today's also. In verse 19, there are three divisions. One is, these mockers were, first of all, separatists. They actually, it says, these are they who make separations. They are among the saints. They come into the meetings, but they separate themselves from the saints. They're with them, but they're not of them. Well, we as Christians should be in the world and not of the world. And they also, they come, they try to be one of them, and yet they're not. They separate themselves from the saints. They separate themselves from pure worship. During the breaking of bread meeting this morning, we had the privilege of worshiping the Lord by acknowledging His goodness, His grace, His mercy toward us. We bowed our heads and gave thanks for the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we remembered Him in His death. But these people, they separate themselves from pure worship. They don't know how to worship the Lord. They separate themselves from God's ordinances. Breaking of bread and meetings and doesn't mean anything to them. And of course, they separate themselves from the discipline in God's house. Anything goes as long as it satisfies their lust and their flesh, and all for worldly ends. And yet, they are within the church. These people come in as sheep in wolves as wolves in sheep's clothing, to devour the sheep. Why do they do this? Because of gain. They're not going out. They're within the church. And they were making a party of pride within the church at that time, even today. And ungodly men have nothing to do with God, and yet among God's people, having wicked lusts. And of course, the separatists come in, as I said, and separate themselves from the believers. Divisions in the churches usually are grounded on separation from biblical doctrine. They don't believe the fundamental doctrines of the gospel. They don't believe, as I said, in the deity and humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ in one person. They don't believe in the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in fact, they don't even believe that they need to be saved. If there is a God, well, God owes it to them to save them and take them to heaven. And they bring in damnable heresies, draw away disciples after them. So once one, they're separatists. And the other one, it says they're sensual. Sensuality, or the idea of great liberty in sinful enjoyment. And of course, sensuality destroys the soul eternally. It says, they that sow to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Paul says in Romans 8, says, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. You shall die. If we live after the nature of Adam and not receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, if we're not going to be born in God's family, we're going to die in our sins. So you have the separatists, the sensual, and then, of course, verse 19 says they're without the Holy Spirit, having not the Spirit. Sanctity and sensuality cannot dwell together. Having not the Spirit. They were completely sensual. They're sensual. They're self-seeking, self-enjoyment in this world. And Paul says in Galatians 5, it says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. They were not under the influence of the Spirit. Hence, they appeared none of Christ. And not only they appeared none of Christ, they were not of Christ because they did not have the Spirit. And nor would they claim in an interest in the Spirit of God or in Christ, and were without life. These people were wicked people at that time, and they're wicked people today. And they disguise themselves as the know-it-alls, and they don't know anything. They don't know anything, and yet, a lot of times they are so persuasive. They have such power in language that they could deceive many Christian people to follow after them and basically try to make their faith ineffective. And once a person becomes ineffective, a Christian becomes ineffective, then that's it. They have done their job. And Paul, Peter, and Jude, they're warning us, even today, be careful. Be careful. We need to keep studying the Word of God all the time, over and over and over and over. I was just thinking about Jude. I don't know how many times, by God's grace and love, I don't know how many times I have read this book. One chapter, yes. Should be 15, 20 chapters. It is just so condensed and so summarized. And yet every time I read, there's something new. Something just comes and grips me. And God wants us to read not only Jude, but all of His Word. Like that. On and on. They feed us. The words of God feed us. And then, of course, we need to pray. Fervent prayer. Loving prayer. Go to Him in spirit and in truth and seek His guidance. And as we're talking during the break, our life's focus should be one that would glorify God. Lord, how can I glorify your name in my life? Maybe different ways, by doing different things maybe. What Mark and I were talking, and it may be that even at work, the Lord wants me to excel, to give his name, bring his name glory and honor. And other ways, in school, to study, to do well, to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, and to just live to bring glory and honor to God's name, like the Lord Jesus Christ says, I have glorified thee on the earth, and I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Can we even think about that, even come close to saying that? And yet, my heart's desire is that we would. And watch out for those people who try to undermine the word of God and undermine the power of God. Thank you.